Professor Timothy Snyder, good morning.
Good morning.
What are the long-term effects of Donald Trump's presidency?
Well, let me mention one which is not obvious in the sound and fury of all this. Global warming. The United States spent 4 years accelerating global warming, and the Trump administration spent 4 years trying to deny that global warming was a problem. So one of the long-term consequences of this administration for the whole world is that it will be more difficult to resolve the problem of climate change. For the United States, I think the biggest immediate problem or inheritance of the Trump administration is the big lie. The big lie that Mr. Trump told, to the effect that he won the presidential election, that our electoral system doesn't really work, that it's all a matter of fraud. This is a lie that's big enough that it's divided American society and it's brought a number of Americans to commit acts of violence. So this will be a problem to deal with for, I'm afraid, years to come.
So you would say there is a correlation between lies and violence?
I would say it, but many wise people before me have said it. And the problem with a big lie in particular is that it sets you apart from everyone else. It becomes a matter of belief. If all the facts are against you and all the authorities are against you, that just means that there's a conspiracy. And since the big lie is about something very important, like an election, for example, it's worth fighting for. And ultimately, the logic of the big lie is, as Hannah Arendt explained long ago, the logic of the big lie is that you need violence to make the world match the big lie itself. So we just saw it happen again in the United States.
So the threat of Trump has not really gone.
Mr. Trump, the problem is not so much him. The problem is the lie itself, the distrust that many Americans now have of elections and democracy, the possibility that another politician can try to take up this big lie and make Americans the victim rather than Mr. Trump. And the long-term problem, and the one that I think is very relevant for Europeans, is the absence of local news and local media, the absence of a production of normal everyday facts. It's because Americans lack those things that big lies and conspiracy theories have so much room to operate in our society.
What is precisely the impact of the lack of local news and local journalism on democracy?
Number one, without factuality, it's impossible to activate the kinds of institutions that you need for democracy. So, for example, it's very difficult to have civil society at a local level around local issues without access to basic facts. Number two, local news allows for trust in the media as a whole. If you don't have local news, if you don't know any reporters personally, then the word media becomes a negative term. It becomes something distant and abstract and maybe even hostile. Number three, factuality creates the possibility that people can find various issues to cooperate upon. It's normal that we have different emotions and different values. But if we also have different facts, or if we don't have facts at all, then it's very hard for people to believe that they are citizens of a republic, citizens of the same country, and very hard for them to find the places where they might fruitfully cooperate. And without that, democracy becomes very difficult.
All over Europe, the public media is under pressure. You live in the United States and in Vienna. What is your experience regarding the media landscape?
The main issue around the world, it takes different forms, but the main issue around the world is the centralization of media. And I think the main need around the world is the re-pluralization or the affirmation of a plural media. If democracy is a value, then you have to expend resources in order to keep up local news, whether that's directly financing it the way the Norwegians do, or whether that's by taxing social media companies to support it. I think that has to be done. In my experience, one of the strengths of a democracy like Germany's is that you still have, for example, regional radio stations, you still have regional newspapers, you still have a fair amount of a political conversation, which is actually about local or regional life, as opposed to everything being about national politics, everything being about fictions or abstractions, which is unfortunately where the American conversation has gone.
And this variety means reliable sources.
Well, that's an excellent question because it raises the question of ethics, right? We're making a commitment to truth. We believe that reporting is an avenue towards truth. So reliable sources for me means above all reporters. Reporters are an element of a healthy civil society. You can't have media without the profession of reporter being sustainable and being valued.
How did the institutions and the system of checks and balances work during Donald Trump's presidency?
Relatively poorly.
Poorly?
Yeah, relatively poorly. Well, if they had worked well, we wouldn't have just seen the Capitol of the United States occupied by armed protesters and five people die. I can't tell a story of the United States where the institutions work, which ends with blood on the steps of the Capitol building. Okay. I don't think anyone can tell that story. Mr. Trump, it was broadly expected in the United States in 2016 that Mr. Trump would be constrained by institutions. That was the general expectation. What we saw instead was a slow dissolution of these institutions. We recognized that the Department of Justice, which was supposed to independently carry out the law of the land, could be corrupted and was. We saw that the Congress of the United States very rarely served as a check on executive power. If we had to deal with another 4 years of this president, the institutions, I think, would look extremely bad. And Americans, to their credit, have recognized this.
Professor Timothy Snyder, thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.